And now as we hear the reading of what Paul went through in Rome, and you may join and follow along with me on page 1744 in your pew Bible. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said, through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving.' For this people's heart had become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Bless the reading of his word.
Our family loves to watch movies together, videos at home. Pretty much 2-3 times a week, we pop in a video and watch it together. We watch a lot of movies, although they'll tell you that I watch a lot of the first half of movies. And if I'm feeling rather energetic, maybe about 2/3. And I don't know, I think it started around having kids. I just can't stay awake for a whole movie at home. And so midway through, I doze off, and then opening credits, I kind of roust myself up, and I always ask, "What happened? They didn't develop the characters very well. What happened, you know?" And Sharon will graciously kind of tell me the ending of the movie. And what happened is a question that you might be left with as Acts ends. Can you believe that we are finishing our series on Acts this morning? We started the series about 10 months ago, and with some interruptions, with some intermissions, right? And we'll be starting another series next week. But I want to just show you and read again how Acts ends. It's very interesting. Acts 28, 30 to 31. "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." What next? What? Is that the ending? Did somebody just doze off? Did Luke doze off as he's etching the record down? What happened to Paul? What happens to the early church? What happens after the gospel comes to Rome? Is Paul executed at the end of these 2 years? Is Paul released from jail? We don't know. Acts kind of ends in midair, so to speak. It leaves you asking, what next? Now, there's some theories about what happened next. We don't know for sure. One theory is that the prosecutors of this case, those from Jerusalem who were bringing a religious charge against Paul, never showed up in Rome. And so the charges were dropped. Another theory is, and he was released. Another theory is that Paul was found innocent and he's released from house arrest, goes on to minister for 2, 3, 4 more years, maybe even goes to Spain where he intended to go, only to be arrested later and then executed. That's one theory, that he had some more ministry after he was let out of jail. Another theory is that he was found guilty and executed by Nero at the end of this 2 years that we read about. But we just don't know. We don't know what happens to Paul. But I don't think that the way the author Luke finishes, ends Acts, is an accident. I don't think he dozed off. I don't think he didn't know what happened. I think he ends Acts very strategically and very intentionally. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that Paul is not the main character of the book of Acts. So writing about what happened next for Paul is not the main concern for Luke. The main character of Acts is the Holy Spirit, which was poured out by God and the risen and ascended Christ upon His church. This Holy Spirit we've been talking about in this service, the Holy Spirit who testifies to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is the emphasis, the accent of Luke, who writes Acts. And so for Luke, the primary emphasis is not what happens to Paul. It ends on the note of Paul preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and teaching about Jesus Christ. It ends there. It ends pretty much where it started, by emphasizing Jesus Christ. I want to read you just a section from a good book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, which talks about, you know, what's it all about? Chapter 1, which is entitled, It All Starts With God. The first sentence of that book is, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Warren goes on, the search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. That's because we typically begin at the wrong starting point, ourselves. We ask self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams, my future? But focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose. The Bible says it is God who directs the lives of His creatures. Everyone's life is in His power. It's not about us. It's all about God. And so Luke ends Acts by stressing it's not about Paul. It's all about God and the message of Jesus Christ in the world. And when what we discover is that God's purpose is that we would find ourselves in Him, that we would find ourselves as children of God, that we would understand our purpose as children of God. And what we discover is that is God's purpose. And when God purposes something, He's God. When God purposes something, there's no stopping it. God really, 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 really wants Jesus Christ to be lifted up in our lives and all across this globe. And so we find out in Acts that when God wants that, it's going to happen. And so we see in Acts that God's Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ, the message of the Word, cannot be contained. It cannot be imprisoned. Now, there's great irony here at the end of Acts. You know, in these last verses, we see Paul is under house arrest. He's given some freedoms as a prisoner of Rome. You know, he's not living in the barracks. He's off by himself in his own rented accommodation. He's probably paying for it himself, maybe even still making tents. He was a tent maker. Now, he's under arrest. There's a Roman guard posted to guard him. He has a chain on, most likely around his wrist, attached to the wrist of the Roman guard. Now, that Roman guard would have been switched out every 4 or 6 hours. Paul is chained. He's under house arrest with a guard posted. And yet the gospel is not hindered by that. In fact, what we find is some of Paul's most fruitful ministry is in that circumstance. He continues to write part of our New Testament, what are called the prison epistles. When he's imprisoned in Rome, he writes Ephesians. You ever hear of that book? Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Evidently, some of his brothers and sisters are even allowed to, they're allowed to come and serve him and help him meet his needs, and they're taught by him. And Philippians gives you a little sense of the fruitfulness of this ministry of house arrest in Rome. Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14, writing about his imprisonment. Paul says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard." The Praetorium Guard was hundreds, maybe even 1,000 or more guards. "It has become known throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Verse 14, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." And then towards the end of the book, chapter 4, verse 22, Paul goes on, "All the saints send you greetings." Listen to this. "Especially those who belong to Caesar's household." There are believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the Roman emperor's household at this time. Now, did Paul have some influence in bringing some of these folks to Christ? I think so. The gospel had gone from Jerusalem, the center of Judaism, and now is in the center of the Gentile world, in the capital of Rome, even found in the household of Caesar. Is the gospel hindered by house arrest? No. It's just what Christ had promised. Just to review a little bit, going back to chapter 1, it ends where it started. It ends with "it's all about God." It started with "it's all about God and Jesus Christ." The risen Jesus, Acts 1, he had been crucified, but that didn't hinder the living word of God. So he's risen and he's appearing to his disciples over a period of 40 days. And he's teaching them. He fellowships with them. He eats with them. And on one particular occasion, while, you know, they're eating a meal together, he says, "Don't leave Jerusalem." He's saying to his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here for the promise of the Heavenly Father, the promise I've given you, the gift the Father has promised, the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And they ask him, because they know something's ready to pop here. You know, what's happening? So they say, "Oh, this is the time you must be going to restore the kingdom to Israel." And then Jesus, the risen Jesus, says, Acts 1, verses 7 and 8. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." That's a promise. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so they wait. And then 10 days later, the promise comes. And we've read about it this morning, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The hurricane force winds fill the room where they're worshiping. Tongues of fire come and separate out and land on the disciples, empowering them to speak the gospel in various languages represented by the thousands of people who would have been in Jerusalem at Pentecost time. And so they spill out into the streets. It's chaos. So people are thinking these people are drunk, but they're not drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples spill out into the street preaching the gospel. They make their way to the temple area and they're preaching. Remember Peter standing up and preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people are baptized, baptized in water, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there begins this global movement of the Holy Spirit. These servants of Jesus start advancing the message in Jerusalem and like ever-expanding ripples throughout Judea, neighboring Samaria, and to Rome. All along the way, you track the story of Acts, they're moving through persecution at home and abroad from their own people. And from people who are not of their ethnicity and religion, moving through church dysfunction and conflict, through racism. We've read about imprisonment, martyrdom, Roman legal battles, long sea-going voyages, shipwrecks, sickness, evil spirits. All the while, like the wind of the Holy Spirit working through these men and women, overcoming every obstacle, overcoming every hindrance so that the gospel could flower worldwide. When God purposes something, it will come to be. You see, and now, at the end of Acts, where the story closes in one manner of speaking, but now all roads have led to Rome, right? All roads lead to Rome. And what we'll discover, what the disciples will discover who are in Rome, is that the roads that lead to Rome, they also leave Rome. And so here's the gospel in the center of Caesar's household, in the center of the capital of the Western world, center of commerce, trade, center of intellectual life, and the gospel's going to take off and go to the ends of the earth, just like Jesus promised. You see the overall flow here. The story of the Holy Spirit, God's power turning the world upside down or right side up. And then the story ends with a what happened next. The story ends with bold preaching and teaching of the gospel. That's the last statement. Bold teaching and preaching of the gospel. That's been the whole point of Acts. These last two verses could be the summary statement of the whole book of Acts. And so it's no surprise that it ends right here. What comes next? What comes next? I'll tell you what comes next. The story ends in midair. We come along and we pick up the story where it has stopped in Acts. We pick up the work where Paul left off and we write the remaining chapters of Acts. You and I, we're not Peter, we're not Stephen, we're not Priscilla, we're not Paul, we're not Timothy or Junia, we're 21st century witnesses living this story. And I got to thinking about my own life. How do I want these chapters that the Holy Spirit wants to write through my life, how do I want those to be written? And I got to thinking about First Presbyterian Church as future generations hear the story of First Presbyterian Church. How do we want those chapters to go? What will future generations read about how we live God's story? And I sometimes wonder that, you know, being a pastor, a Christian first, a pastor and being in ministry all the time, I sometimes wonder, where's all the power of the Holy Spirit? God, I pray, where's all the Acts stuff? You know, the stuff that motivated me to get into ministry in the first place. You know, lives being transformed, worlds being upended. You know, people being healed and changed. Where's all that stuff? And you might be wondering, where's all the ministry, the power of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit still active? Or with the close of Acts, did he stop? And I'm reminded always, again and again, that to see this kind of advance of the gospel, to see the type of work we read about in the book of Acts, this unhindered mission, in light of every hindrance that is put up in front of it, there needs to be a surrender to the main character of Acts, because it's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit a surrender because it's not about us. It's like living 1,000 deaths every day, laying our lives down, surrendering our lives and whatever we're going through to the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit has not lost any power, any purpose. The Holy Spirit, He purposes the same things He always has the same power He always has. But the issue, as Mike Breen pointed out, I think is a container issue. It's not that the Holy Spirit is any different. I think when we don't see the power and glory of the Lord at work, it's a container issue. We are the containers. Perhaps we're not fully surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we haven't opened every part of our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so at the advance of the gospel, the advance of the Holy Spirit continues as we open ourselves to His work. The more it's about Him, the more it's about God, the more it's about Jesus Christ, the more we'll see God in our lives and through our lives. If it's not about God, you're just going to see a bunch of Bill or Joe or Mary, a bunch of us. It's not about us, though. Acts teach us that. We're broken, limited, stubborn people. We're hindered in so many ways. And you may feel hindered. You may feel chained in some ways. Paul was chained to a Roman guard, captive to a Roman guard, or was he? Who's captive there? I think the guard was captive to Paul. How would you like to be chained up to a preacher all day long? Paul had a captive audience, right? And here's another one. Here's another sermon I want to give you. Imagine that. Who's captive? So, you might feel chained. You might feel chained to a bad job. You might feel chained to a really hard, dysfunctional relationship. You might feel chained to a job that gives you no spare time, seemingly, to do anything else but just be at that job. You may feel chained to financial problems. You may feel chained to old age. You know, you may feel chained to a bad health. You may feel chained to learning disabilities or other problems at school. But the point is, as we surrender our situations, our broken, limited lives, the Holy Spirit fills us with His power and wraps up our life, everything in our lives, and uses us to advance the gospel. We'll be swept up into the advancing ministry and glory of God. And just as we've witnessed the advance of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome, there's always this outward progression of the gospel, this outward boundedness to the gospel. You see, one big theme of Acts, there's a lot of themes, is the changeover from a Jewish-centered church to a Gentile-centered church. The church going from Jerusalem to Rome. God's not lost His purposes for the Jewish people, but you see that what started as a small sect of Judaism, the way of Christ, a small sect, opens up to a worldwide faith for everyone. And that's what it will do in your life. What could start as a small little part of your life, a small little sect of your life, if you receive and surrender to the Holy Spirit, will open up. Jesus says it like a mustard seed that grows, the smallest seed that grows and blesses all the birds of the air. You'll be a fountain of blessing to your life, to other people around you, and even to the ends of the world. That's what God can do in your life. That's the message of Acts. We'll see that story as we surrender to the Holy Spirit. We'll see that the story of God being all in all, the story of God being everything, the story of it all being about God, we'll see that continue in our lives. It's not about us. It's about Him. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be glorified in us today and forever. Amen.